Well, good morning.
Father, we do bow down before you and just mindful of your awesomeness, Lord, as you have invited us to come to the throne of grace no matter when, where, or how often. And we just so thank you. Guide us this morning as once again we look at the Psalms of David, really, and as he is thanking you for answered prayer and how it speaks to us, Lord, I would thank again. And so guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to be in Psalm 28 today. We were in Psalm 27 last week. And my Bible shows this psalm as rejoicing in answered prayer. So Psalm 28, we don't know when it was written in David's career because there's nothing really in this that points us to any specific time. But we do see, as I was looking at this, I decided to really begin today with an old praise song. Basically, I stand in awe of you. And I was thinking, may have mentioned before, because from time to time the thought occurs, you know, if we had a sunrise or a sunset, maybe once every 50 years or once every, stretch it out a little bit anyway, it would be so spectacular, the whole world would have to watch that, right? But we have it every day, right? Every day, sunrise and sunset. So, yeah, sunrise, so what's the big deal? We get to pray all the time, right? We get to see his answers to the prayer, and I think we can come to the point, well, what's the big deal? Well, God answers prayer. Yeah, there's nothing so special about that. Have you really thought how special that is? That the Creator that made you and made the whole world has invited you and me to come to the throne of grace? So awesome, isn't it? So let's begin by just singing together, I stand in awe of you. So as we look at this psalm, the first couple of verses, David is crying out to the Lord, and just listen to what he says here. To you I will cry. Now, we don't really know what danger or dilemma he was in when he wrote this psalm, but he was always in some kind of danger or dilemma most of his life. We see this repeated theme over and over and over again in the scriptures, don't we? When disaster strikes, when crisis comes, what is our tendency? to reach out, to try to make a connection with something that will help us. So we call friends, we call rich uncles if we have it, or we call our congressman if we know one, or we try to do something for help, and it's usually always in the world, right? But there's no answer to our difficulties, particularly when those difficulties are from God. So when God brings trouble into your life or a correction into your life, there isn't going to be any help other than Him. So we see here then that David is doing the right thing. He says, to you I will cry. He doesn't say to somebody else I will cry or to something else I will cry, but to you I will cry. And who? O Lord, my rock. O Yahweh, my rock. And then he requests, do not be silent to me. In the Hebrew there, it's don't be deaf to me, or don't be a non-listener to me. So do not be silent to me, lest, or otherwise, if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. So who are those who go down to the pit? Those are the unbelievers. So the difference he's saying here between me and the unbelievers is you answer my prayer. But the unbelievers, they don't even know you. So there's no real prayer there, really, that is meaningful at any rate. Lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Then he continues, hear the voice of my supplications. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you. When I lift up my hands toward the mercy seat or toward your holy sanctuary. So we see here that it's perfectly appropriate to lift up your hands in prayer. I think of the throne room in Revelation chapters 4 and 5, where we have such tremendous worship. But you'll notice everybody is in unison. They all fall down. Or, in this case, they would all lift up their hands. And so the difficulties we have sometimes is we have those energetic ones. When everybody else is sitting down quietly, they jump up and they're waving around and dancing and whirling and all. And it's a real distraction. So lift up your hands. Lift them up appropriately. And if everybody's lifting up their hands, we want to be in unison, right? It's not individual worshipers that one standing and one lying down and one kneeling and one. I mean, those are all okay, particularly in your private time, but in public worship, David here is lifting up his hands, rather than go into all the details, that's appropriate to lift up your hands. And he's thinking toward the holy sanctuary. He's thinking, basically, I believe, toward the mercy seat, because that's where we come, don't we, to find mercy. To find mercy. When I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Now, the next few verses here, he's going to make a significant distinguishment between the righteous and the wicked. And I think it's important for us to judge in terms of discernment. We're to hate evil, right? And to love good. How do you know what's good and evil? Unless you have discernment. I'm not talking about making a judge's decision, which is the context of that word in Matthew. Don't judge another one's motives. Don't judge them to their sentence. But we need to determine what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. And we need to determine there's a big difference between the righteous and the unrighteous, right? So listen to what David says here. Do not take me away with the wicked. He doesn't want any part of the wicked because he knows where they're going. Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity who speak peace in their neighbors but evil in their hearts. That's the wicked one. He looks on the outside so good. Oh, he makes peace with everybody, smiles at everybody, loves everybody, when really in his heart is evil. Then he is not asking for mercy here. He's asking for judgment. He's got three accordings here. Give them one according to their deeds, two according to their wickedness of their hands, their workers, their endeavors, and three according to the work of their hands. So he's really laying it out to the Lord. You take care of those wicked ones, right? Render to them what they deserve. Now, it's changed in the New Testament because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when he was on the cross, rather than rendering to those who crucified him what they deserved, what did he do? He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And there at that last night before he was crucified the next day, he said, a new, actually it's fresher is probably a better word, a fresher commandment I give to you. The first one is still love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength. But the newer commandment or the fresher commandment is not love your neighbor as yourself, but a higher standard. Love as you have been loved. Love as you have been loved, a much higher standard. And so that higher standard now in the New Testament for mercy and grace is not, we do not want to pray for our enemies, generally speaking, the way David did was, let them have it, Lord, let them have it, break their teeth and so forth, but rather show mercy toward them. But he's saying here, judge them, Lord, in a sense, because they do not regard the work of the Lord nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. They are not walking with the Lord, so they will be judged. We know that. But we don't need to ask for, let the Lord judge people, let us love them, right? And not the other way around. Usually we want to judge them and let the Lord love them, right? But we want to love them and let the Lord judge them. Now he's going to take a couple of verses in response to this. He's going to praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplication. Just think of that. The God of the universe knows your voice. He knows your voice. And he's heard your voice. Isn't that awesome when you think of that? He knows your voice. And we say he has heard the voice of my supplication. So blessed be the Lord who enables me to even pray to him, right? And it's not, well, I hope he can hear me because I'm not qualified. No, he loves to hear your voice. He already knows your voice. He knows your voice. He created your voice. Then he says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. And listen to this, my heart trusted in him and I am helped. That's the only place you're going to get help is from the Lord. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices and with my song, I will praise him. So just an inventory on this last week. How much time did you spend praising and singing to the Lord? Any? It's a good thing to do, isn't it? That's what it says here. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with song I will praise him. With song I will praise him. There's one thing about singing to the Lord. It's really hard to keep your mind fixed on yourself. Stop singing, and it's pretty easy to think only of yourself. But once you start singing, to him, it's just like, wow, I'm thinking about him and I'm praising him, and all of a sudden our hearts are where they should be. With my song, I will praise him. And now, the last two verses, he swings to other believers, to the other people, and to the intercessory part of prayer, which we have a chance to do here every week. Because he says in verse 7, the Lord is my strength. Now, in verse 8, he says, the Lord is their strength. So the there is his people, as we'll see in verse 9. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. The anointed is the Mashiach there. That is the saving refuge of the Messiah. And then he says this beautiful four-step prayer. You can pray for any of us in that way. Number one, save your people. Number two, bless your inheritance. Those are your people. Number three, feed or shepherd them also. Tend to them, care for them. Feed as a shepherd would feed them. And then lastly, carry them or bear them up for 15 minutes. Is that what it says? Forever. Isn't that glorious? So, save your people, bless your inheritance, shepherd them also, and bear them up forever. So he finishes then this little psalm with having called to the Lord, distinguished himself from the wicked, then praising the Lord, singing to the Lord, and then praying for others. Nice in a little psalm, isn't it? I mean, all of these have their own characteristics to it. I don't know, if we had more time, we could go further into it, but we now want to go into the intercessory part of the prayer, and then at the end of that, we'll close in song once again. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you speak to us, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy that we can come to you, Lord. not to the throne of judgment, but to the throne of grace. Thank you for paying the price for each of our sins, Lord, for all people's sins, past, present, and future. Now lead us as we pray for others, believers and unbelievers, Lord, for the various things that you would put on our heart through your Spirit and draw us into one accord. In Jesus' name, let's pray.
My blessed Jesus will join his children in his arms. He carries them all day long. Praise him, tell his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified.
Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong.
Praise him, tell him his excellent greatness. Praise him,
And Father, we do want to just praise you for your faithfulness in hearing our prayers and answering our prayers, Lord. Father, we do want to pray for kings and those in authority, and we just want to mention once again these world leaders of the top 10 or so most populated areas that would cover at least about three-quarters of the people on this planet. Xi Jinping in China and Narendra Modi in England, in India. Donald Trump in the USA and Joko Widodo in Indonesia, Jair Bolsonaro in Brazil and Arif Alvi in Pakistan, Muhammadu Buhari in Nigeria and Hasina Wasid in Bangladesh and Vladimir Putin in Russia and Lopez Obrador in Mexico. Father, we pray for kings and those in authorities of the small countries as well, Lord, that they would turn to you, that they would have the fear of you in their eyes, and they would be yours. So, Lord, we pray for your church. We pray for all the activities of this church. And we pray for each one here today that as we leave, we would just remember how much you love us, that you want to hear from us, and that you do hear our prayers, and you hear our voice, you know our voices, and you answer our prayers. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.